Moving on, we of course have had the tragic news this week of not one, not two, but three artists in Hollywood who've sadly passed on to Heaven FM in the sky and so on. Robin Williams, of course, being the first. Then, of course, Lauren Bacall and Arlene Martel, who you're probably not aware of Arlene Martel, even if you're aware of the other two. But Arlene Martel was actually in the original series of Star Trek. She played T'Pring, Spock's bride at the time, and did a whole range of other factors as well. And a good friend of one of our regular colleagues, Celeste Yarnell, who will be joining us again on the programme. Joe, it's obviously sad when people do pass on, but any thoughts from yourself in terms of Robin Williams, Lauren Bacall? We'll be hearing from our Los Angeles correspondent shortly about this.
It's truly horrific. I mean, one of my fondest memories of childhood was sitting in my brother's bedroom when I was about a very young child with my brother and sister watching Jumanji, which was Robin Williams.
Of course, yes. And just one of many, many, many movies that he was actually involved with. Mrs. Doubtfire, of course, Dead Poets Society, a whole heap of other lines of things. And, of course, his voice material was very much to the fore, whether it's his role in Aladdin or indeed Popeye the Sailor Man, Mork and Mindy, of course, where he came to fruition in many ways as a major star. And indeed, I think from that, a little Robin Williams number, I Am What I Am. Williams takes existential thought to a whole new world.
You have to be no fish to tell when you're floundering. What am I, some kind of barnacles on the dinghy of life? I ain't no doctor, but I know when I'm losing my patience. What am I, some kind of judge or lawyer? Maybe not, but I know what law suits me. Physicist, but I knows what matters. What am I? I'm Papa, the sailor. And I am what I am, what I am, and I am what I am, and that's all that I am, cause I am what I am. You got it?
I think so, yeah.
And I've got a lot of muscle, and I only got one eye, and I never hurt nobody, and I'll never tell a lie. Top to me bottoms, from the bottoms to me top. That's the way it is, till the days that I drop. To be or not to be, who asking? I can open up an ocean, I can take a lot of sail, I can lose a lot of waters, and I'll never have to bail. The coast of Madagascar, I can whale by the tail. What am I?
What am I?
What am I? I am what I am! I'm Popeye the sailor. I'm Popeye the sailor. I'm Popeye.
Absolutely excellent little-known piece of work there. Robin Williams, of course, with I Am What I Am, the late, great, I use the term quite advisedly, Robin Williams there. Just as I would actually say, the great, because he's never late, because he's always on time, he's sorted through, whether he's actually sort of dealing with his directorial duties or anything else from that point of view, it's the legend that is Graham Harper. How are you, Graham?
Hello, everyone. I'm fine. How are you?
Good. That's okay. That's important. Can I introduce you to our young co-presenter today? That would be the wonderful Joe Hayden. Joe, who's on the eve of his A-level results in the studio. Exciting.
It's, yes.
Oh, nerve-wracking, actually.
Well, it adds to the flavour of the whole system. Astonishingly, his sister, big fan of Hollyoaks. Joe, less so. Not really so routine from that point of view, but a nice little number, Graham, to actually move on to, obviously, after Casualty and so on. I suspect Joe might appreciate you more for your Doctor Who work. Graham Harper, of course, being the sole director to date, and probably forevermore, who's actually worked on Classic Who in the days of, well, Patrick Troughton, Peter Davison, Colin Baker and so on, and, of course, New Who, directing about a dozen of David Tennant's finest episodes.
I did, and I think the reason why there won't be many people doing it from the old period to this one is because they're dead.
Now, you may say that, Graham, you might say that, but, you know, it's just one of those... Listen, we've just been talking about, obviously, the tragic demise of Robin Williams.
Shocking.
The same thing with respect to Lauren Bacall, although I suppose, obviously, Lauren had a reasonable innings from that point of view. Your thoughts yourself, as somebody who's obviously in the business of show... Certainly, Lauren Bacall, to those of us of a certain number of years, will sort of be forever connected with Humphrey Bogart and all the sort of classic lines from that. Do you think that, you know, the opportunity of... I don't know, say opportunity, but the sort of the people do pass on. But what are your thoughts, Graham?
Well, the shock with him was that he seemed... I didn't know he had all these bipolar kind of problems. I believe that's what it is, isn't it? I didn't know anything about that. And he was always so funny and happy. The only clue that you had was he was really hyper in that he never gave any gaps in his dialogue. So his comic stuff, when he was raconteuring, was absolutely brilliant and was always referring to kind of madness and other people's madness and his own and whatever. But I thought it was a joke. I didn't know anything about his problems of bleakness, as it were, and so it became a real shock because he was so warm and funny and delightful. Where she was a diva to me, fantastic to watch, but I bet she was a handful. Whereas I don't think Robin Williams was a handful. I think a handful to himself. I think he was delightful to everybody, from what I could see.
Interesting. Of course, historically, as far as comedians are concerned, we can look back at Tony Hancock, a variety of other sort of names, etc., who have had that kind of persona off stage, where somehow, in terms of being the comedian, the clown on stage, somehow behind the scenes, you know, we've got all sorts of issues at work there, which is obviously sort of, you know, very poignant and something which you know, is very difficult to address, because ultimately you can really only sort out your challenges yourself, one presumes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's Pagliacci, isn't it? I mean, that's what it's all about. It's the clown who cries. It's just really, really sad. And strange enough, I think Lauren Bacall's death is not overshadowed, but it's kind of... a bit diminished because of the importance of the incredible warmth of that man. Do you know what I mean? She's just had longevity, and she's was a really good actress and very, 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 very watchable. But he was just stunning.
Let's put a kibosh on my suggested pitch of Good Morning Casablanca, which I was looking to actually develop, but never mind. I'm sure we can actually get a few people actually in there. A little line, I'm sure. I'm sure they'd appreciate, still.
That's brilliant.
Moving onwards, Joe, clearly you're doing stuff with Red Dog Films, and just for the benefit of Graham, who mostly works within TV classic dramas from Angels, District Nurse, Hope and Glory, Star Cops, Boone, Coronation Street, House of Elliot, September Song, The Bill, blah, 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 etc., a whole range of fantastic things there. What Red Dog Films, just share with Graham and Alistair, though, might have forgotten exactly. What do they actually do, and how it's like being an intern for them?
Red Dog does community films, promoting any community groups, as well as their own fictitious pieces. They do story-based pieces. They're moving now towards doing their first feature film called Humans.
Yeah.
It's very good working for them, yes. It's been very interesting.
And it's part of a renaissance of film production companies in Britain. They've never gone away, but it's nice to see that, actually, in terms of Lincolnshire in particular, there are or at least aspirations of companies to develop product. Is it due solely to the fact that technology has reduced in price? So, actually, they're able to do digital quality images for a fraction of what, if Graham had wanted to do it a few years ago, we would have been charging.
I believe that is largely responsible for the huge upswell of generated films that people are doing nowadays.
On your first show a few weeks ago, Joe, you raised the shocking nemesis of censorship of one of your favourite films. That was specifically the excitement that was the Budapest, the Grand Budapest Hotel, directed, of course, by...
Wes Anderson.
Wes Anderson, who's one of your favourite filmmakers.
Oh, yes, he's
film
very...
directors. Okay. Graham actually has on his IMDb entry that his favourite film directors are Martin Campbell, Sam Peckinpah, John Huston and John Ford.
I can't say I know any of them particularly.
What a treat you've got in store.
Oh,
what a treat you've got in store. Martin Campbell, GoldenEye, of course. Sam Peckinpah, lots of spaghetti westerns. One of these days, Graham will do a western. Maybe base it in Lincolnshire with Welsh people.
Yes.
John Huston, of course, probably a giant of the whole western scenario. And, of course, father of Angelica Huston, amongst other things. And, of course, John Ford, where you can't watch a western without seeing John Ford and the classic Stagecoach. So lots of cinematic sort of treats there. But why Wes Anderson?
He is, I feel, one of a certain number of directors.
Yes, Graham, are you still there?
Yeah, I am.
Good.
You're going backwards and forwards a bit, but carry on.
You know, that could have defined the first 47 minutes of the show, actually. I blame those voodoo people from Nashville. Never mind. We'll try to stay forwards as opposed to backwards. No, we have obviously gone backwards there. And that's the sort of line. Anyway, you were whilst we were going backwards and forwards there, share with us why Wes Anderson in particular is one of your... aspects that you like.
He has a very, very distinctive style of this is how Wes Anderson does a film in terms of everything about it. I mean, you hear stories of actors, huge actors, will literally throw themselves at the chance to do a Wes Anderson film because of how legendary and...
But don't they do the same with The Muppets? Sorry. In case you're wondering about the censorship, it wasn't a serious... It was simply a case of a family version that was screened on the aircraft as opposed to the standard version.
It was a theatre on a cruise ship.
Well, there we are.
So consequently, there's no... You don't pay for tickets or anything. You just walk in.
Exactly. You've got to have some sort of censorship in place, then.
They have to be prepared for... Yes.
It's very true. So it goes. We'll try and get Graham Harper back in a few moments. Do you ever get the feeling it's one of those shows... It's always one of those shows here on Siren 107.3 FM. It's the Midweek Drive, and we're still going to California, to Los Angeles, and hopefully to find out more about the movie industry.
Always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Technically, it's really Midweek Drive Duo today. Never mind. It is the fabulous Joe Hayton in the studio. Alex Lefchuk guiding you through as we approach 7 minutes to 6 o'clock. That's as far as time in Lincolnshire is concerned. Time in California, well, that brings us all the way around to 5 to 10 in the morning, 9:55 a.m. to be precise, and hopefully connecting with us with our own inimitable magic from Native Voices at the Autry. We'll be speaking very, very shortly to the one and only Jean Bruce Scott, who is in a number of TV series in the 80s, some of which your mum might remember, Magnum P.I., and, of course, the excitement that was Airwolf. In fact, there's no reason, actually, Joe, why you shouldn't actually get the DVDs out and watch the whole thing, because that's what, you know, cinephiles would actually do. You know, just because it actually was made before you were born doesn't necessarily mean you can't appreciate it, as I often say about all range of things. Yeah. Wizard of Oz, for instance.
Oh, yes.
Case in point. Hmm. Anyway, Jean will hopefully be with us. If we're very good, are very positive, take that step from darkness into light and celebrate the joy that is Siren 107.3 FM.
One step into the light, one step away from night. It's the hardest step you're gonna take. The ship to take you there is waiting at the head of the stairs that lead up through your opened mind.
despair shines a light that saves. There's one thing I can do, play my mellotron for you, try to blow away your city blues. Your dreams are not unfound, get your feet back on the ground, the trees will set us free, we cannot lose. Just have to choose.
Californian sunshine, Native American joy, and the finest Airwolf helicopter pilot and Magnum PI naval officer ever. It's Gene Bruce Scott, now live on the Midweek Drive for Siren 107.3 FM.
Yay! Cheers!
Hello.
Oh, Gene, it's always a delight connecting with your good self. I mean, obviously yourself and Randy, clearly, but today it's just your good self, Gene, and it's fabulous to have you back on the show because it's great celebrating, stepping into the light, because you always bring such light to our otherwise bleak British existence. That's what
oh,
happens,
please, please, you have a wonderful British existence.
Well, yes, but we don't have bears wandering across the road, which I thought, you know, one of the joys about your Facebook pages is the way in which you would introduce things like Mama Bear checking for traffic. I'm showing
Isn't
this to... Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that is, you know, that to me, that is an image that deserves to be sort of celebrated. And I believe you also brought us the singing goats, because what's not to love about a singing goat?
I love baby goats, and I have found some singing goats, which make me incredibly happy. My lifelong dream has now become to start a lavender farm and a goat farm together, so I can grow lavender and do all kinds of wonderful things with lavender, and to raise baby goats and make goats milk cheese. So I don't know how to do any of this stuff, yeah. Alex. I'm inventing it for myself.
You're putting it out there, which is all the universe needs, taking those yes. baby steps in the general direction of the dream, which is
exactly
essential to the whole sort of sequence there. And certainly we need more of that to celebrate the happiness of that. Of course, apart from bringing some happiness through goats and indeed mama bears and various other bits and pieces, you are a co-founder of one of the the fantastic Native Voices at the Autry, which is obviously dealing with the genuine Americans and their involvement with American citizens with plays and so on. And that's just been going from strength to strength this year.
It has. And we have, I have three brand new exciting things to tell you and your listeners. Mm-hmm. The first is that we have been workshopping Randy Reinholz's adaptation of Shakespeare's Measure for Measure. Uh-huh. We've retitled it Off the Rails, and we will be producing that in March 2015. So we're in pre-production meetings and design meetings for that, and it's very exciting and a lot of fun. And then secondly, our show from last March, Standoff at Highway 37, is going to be given a co-production at the University of South Dakota and South Dakota Rep in February of 2015. We're working on that process. We'll be taking in three Native Voices equity actors, a union director and stage manager, and we'll be going in, and those five plus myself will be guest artists at the university for about 24 days, and we'll be working with student and local actors to put the play up at the end of that residency. So that's very exciting. And then the third, and perhaps the most exciting and exhausting, is I've started an ensemble to go with the Native Voices Theater Company. So this is a core group of 24 extraordinary Native American actors and actresses who are also playwrights and directors. They're multi-talented. And we are going to create new work
for the stage, and hopefully do some touring, and maybe see if we can't figure out a way to come over to England. So,
you save the best to last as ever. You know, they're just going to go crazy. They'll be dancing in the streets of Pitlochry. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Exactly. See, that's the sort of...
Oh, my God.
That's, that, yeah, well, we don't mess around when it comes to genuine sort of excitement within the Midweek Drive. You should know that. Yes.
Yes, yes. From London to Pitlochry is my dream.
Yeah, this is it. Yes. This is the true system. And indeed, I've just been beginning to proof the photographs for next year's calendar for Southside Broadcasting and Siren FM's Midweek Drive. And we've been given yourself and Randy key places in that calendar. So, yeah.
Oh, how wonderful. Thank you.
There. So part of the team in every sense of the word. Now, we need to introduce you to our co-presenter today, who actually gets his A-level exam results in about 12 hours from now. No, I tell a lie. It's going to be about 15 hours. So is it 9 o'clock in the morning? So
It's going to be 10 o'clock. I
10 o'clock. So 16 hours.
So, yes.
16 hours 16 from hours. Now. Exactly. So just as actually in California and San Diego, the clock turns around to 2 a.m. in the morning, Joe Hayden, currently working as an intern for Red Dog Films, will be finding out how well he's done in his A-level examination results.
Fantastic. Well, Joe, I hope it's flying colors.
Thank you very much.
I'm sure that it will be, especially if you're working with the wonderful Alex, because he just brings out the best in everybody.
Well, you know, that's just in radio. I have nothing to do with his religious education or indeed his psychology. You know, it's just an important line to address on that basis. Gene, we've been reflecting on the sad news, the counterpoint of the demise of Robin Williams and Lauren Bacall, and clearly you may have actually worked with both of them from that perspective. But do you have any particular sort of thoughts yourself on what has been, you know, a loss to the entertainment industry?
Absolutely, I'm absolutely devastated. I had the great privilege of meeting Robin when we were both youngsters in New York City. One of my booking agents was actually his manager, and we had some friendly dinners and times there, and then I was able to see him. When I came back to California, I did see him a little bit in the early days when he was doing Mork and Mindy. Pam Dauber was a friend as well.
Yeah.
So I'm absolutely devastated. He had a troubled life that he strove so valiantly against with the depression and his addictions, and I'm beyond devastated.
I think all we can do in such instances, Gene, is just put out positivity and know that we've got another star cast in heaven of superstars and a variety of other bits and pieces within that. As I said to our director, Graham Harper, earlier, it's a pity that Good Morning Casablanca looks as though I've had to put that on the back burner for a wee while, but never mind. It's a thought, and I mean, I know from your own perspective, Joe, you were quite a fan of Robin Williams as well.
Oh yes, quite well.
Across the generations,
not an extreme fan, obviously, but yeah. Oh yes, absolutely. I did. He was very good in what he did. Yes.
Well, we. Certainly...
I would encourage all of your listeners across the generations, as you said, to go and find either his earlier films or his later films if you haven't seen those, and to watch them, and just send a little prayer up to heaven and tell him how much you enjoy him. And I think he's looking down now, and I would say he's probably surprised at all of the adulation and love coming his way. He'd be actually, I think, surprised. So
I can see him actually working with Ernest Borgnine up there in a sort of thing, probably directed by David Lean, perhaps.
Oh, how
together.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah. What a brilliant idea.
Well, exactly. It's
yes.
A way to progress with respect to that. As you mentioned, Off the Rails is just getting... I mean, I love that title. I mean, this is the Shakespeare's Measure for Measure, originally defined by, of course, Randy Reinholtz, as Shakespeare meets Blazing Saddles.
Yes.
This is wonderful. Scenario for that, and I think there's lots of sort of stuff that's coming through from that. In general, you've also been touring traveling, or at least you seem to have been traveling around quite extensively, Jean. So, you know, has that been going well as well?
Yes. So there's a fourth very exciting thing that's happening. Mm-hmm. We've been working with the Alaska Native Playwrights Project now for, I guess, about 5 years or so. And one of our very first playwrights, her very first play, she expanded it from a short story to a short play to a full-length play. We workshopped here in May at our festival, retreat and festival, and then Perseverance Theater in Alaska, Juneau, Alaska, took it up for their summer festival, and I went up and dramaturged it, and we worked on it again, and we just got news this week that Perseverance Theater is going to produce it in their main stage season next year. So that was fabulous news. So I was in Juneau, Alaska. You probably saw that on my Facebook page. And that was to work with Vera Starbird on her wonderful play, Our Voices Will Be Heard.
Jean, what we're going to have to do, I know we've spoken about this before, but we should also feature some of the other cast members of these fabulous productions.
Yes.
And give them the opportunity to join with us.
It's always important.
And also a little silent prayer that America managed to actually purchase Alaska from Russia in the 18th century. Otherwise, we would have had all sorts of problematic issues then, I would have thought.
Yes,
really.
Yes, especially now.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's when they need you most, that's the important thing, to actually sort of celebrate that positivity from that point of view. Joe, any questions you want to put to Jean about life, the universe, or anything really? I mean, the recent...
Anything.
Exactly.
Anything.
The box set Blu-ray release of Airwolf. I still think you should be on the cover, Jean. That's important. You should be front and centre.
I'm not on the cover?
Where you are, there's Ernest Borgnine, there's Jan Michael Vincent, but I think, you know, you without Caitlin O'Shaughnessy, the series, well, it wasn't a series, basically. That's the classic.
I absolutely agree. Yeah, positively agree.
Precisely. Anyway, Joe.
What would you say was your favourite role that you've done?
A nice, easy question there, Jean.
Oh, boy. Boy.
You know, are we talking movies, theatre, or right across the board?
Anything you've done, which would you say was your favourite?
You know, I think it's got to be a tie between Magnum P.I. and St. Elsewhere. And the reason for that, they're two entirely different kinds of shows, and they were produced by very, very different and delightful individuals who made the experiences just wonderful from beginning to end. The scripts were well crafted. We got them ahead of time, so we were able to do our preparation and get in and go to work on them. I absolutely love Ed Begley Jr. I absolutely love Tom Selleck. So I would say it has to be a toss-up between those two. Probably the most fun was the first episode I did of St. Elsewhere with Ed Begley. Where I played a kooky Catholic girl who was very mixed up and ended up being tied to a bed by Ed Begley Jr. and frolicking a bit with crazy things that my therapist said I should be acting out. And it was great fun both for the character, Roberta, and for myself, because I was kind of a good Catholic girl or a good girl, so I got to play out all of those fantasies in a role.
There are many existential psychoanalysts, including Jung, of course, who would actually say from dream analysis, that's exactly the way forward. You know, it's yes. Helped. Cathartic, that's the visual
analysis.
The catharsis. Extraordinary. In fact, I seem to recall, I remember that we haven't focused on St. Elsewhere. I must think of the next sort of piece, Jean, we'll definitely sort of do a little St. Elsewhere reprise. It was very much a show which, I suppose, set the pace for ER and Grey's Anatomy and other medical procedures ahead of its time. I suppose you could argue, yes, but what about Dr. Kildare? But then again, that was way back, even before our time in many ways, you know, with Richard Chamberlain and Dr. Kildare. But ultimately, it did work well.
Yeah, it was the first of the big ensemble medical shows, and it really did a fantastic job of spinning those stories week after week in an episodic nature that hadn't been done before. And in fact, they also created so many wonderful camera techniques on that show. Those tracking shots that you see in St. Elsewhere, that was kind of the first time that kind of work was being done in television. It had been done in film, but nobody had taken the time to do it in television. And we worked on a huge soundstage, so those hallways of the hospital were just hallways in this soundstage that sometimes we did 2 and 3 minute walking, traveling, tracking shots without cutting. Just and people coming in and out of the scene and in and out of stairways and elevators, and it was just wonderful.
And when Orson Welles did that in Touch of Evil with the tracking shot, he was hailed as a genius. Well,
this is
TV, tighter budget all round from that point of view.
Exactly.
Superb stuff. I seem to recall as well it was certainly sold over in Britain as very much the companion series to Hill Street Blues.
Hill Street Blues, exactly. Yeah. We shot, actually, our sound stages were directly across from one another at the CBS Radford Studios here in Studio City.
Yeah, and you look today, and of course, a lot of television on the shoulders of giants still sort of works on that premise. There was a line, of course, which I think David McCallum pointed out recently when he used to work with Robert Vaughan in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. that you do, that Arthur Weingarten was sharing this a few weeks ago, that you do 53-minute shows, virtually hour-long shows. The series would be 28 shows, probably 26 shows, and so on. Kids today in TV acting, they have it too easy, don't they, Jean?
Oh, absolutely. They're doing 44 minutes and they're doing 20 shows.
Exactly.
Please.
Yeah. What's the problem?
I can't believe you have to have me on with David McCallum. I love him.
Well,
I spent my childhood playing Girl from U.N.C.L.E., which was eventually, I think, Stephanie Power.
Indeed.
But my favorite character was Ilya Kuryakin.
Oh, well.
And I had his doll. In fact, I probably have his doll somewhere in an attic, that he was all dressed in black with the black turtleneck, and you pressed on his back, and his arm rose, and a gun slid out of his sleeve. Do you remember that?
And it was a gun. It was a genuine gun before people actually started thinking, what? Slid out of his sleeve? No, it was a gun. Yeah,
it was a gun. So
exactly. This is very important from that perspective. Yes. I'm thinking, actually, Jean, here, as I occasionally do, occasionally on the show, maybe we should actually start drafting a package together. We can get some of our screenwriters on this of Ilya Kuryakin meets Caitlin O'Shaughnessy. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. I would love that.
I think if we get Don Belisarius involved, that could be a winner. Yep.
He's on a Belisario show, and I was on a Belisario
exactly.
show.
Exactly. You see? Yeah.
There's no point of separation, right?
Absolutely. I think the deal is sorted. So I think we'll work through that process. Jean, we have moved from bears looking after road safety through to singing goats, right the way through to very, very, very exciting stuff with respect to native voices at the Autry, including the possibility that you might be coming British bound in the not too distant future, as well as all the fantastic stuff that's going on with yourself and Ryan D, of course, over in the States, to the very poignant sort of little tribute. I think it was a very heartfelt tribute to Robin Williams. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Jean Bruce Scott?
I have had an outstanding experience with you today, and I always do. I so look forward to it. It's always great fun.
So I take it we can look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future, probably in the fall, I would have thought, probably before the fall. Anyway,
yes, please do.
That's autumn for any British listeners who are thinking, the fall? What's he speaking about there? I was using American vernacular to kind of just address that whole point there. And do you think if we go out with Robin Williams from Disney's Aladdin with Friend Like Me?
Yes, that sounds great. Thank you.
Well, Alibaba had them 40 thieves. Sherry's already had 1,000 tales. Master, you in luck, cause up your sleeves you got a brand of magic never fails. You got some power in your corner now. It's heavy ammunition in you.
And now, slightly later than normal.
Notes from a very small island can only mean it's time for our top Jersey correspondent, Anna Maria Lewis, on the midweek drive.
Yay! We have connected with your good self, Anna. Panic has over. We were just sort of thinking, oh no, has somebody left the door to our house open again? Is there another sort of tragedy that's coming through here?
What a drama. One drama after another.
Well, that's why we love you on the show, Anna, because you bring that sort of excitement to life. In every sense of the word. We did try to reach Bill Culls again, but he's still on voicemail, even with his mobile phone. Never mind. In the studio, fresh from throwing a wonderful question to Jean Bruce Scott, ace actress, about what's the most important thing she's ever done, what's her most enjoyable role. We'll play back the podcast to find that. We've got Joe Hayden, who in a matter of, well, less now than 15 hours... You will actually be sort of picking up your A-level results, won't you, Joe?
Yes, indeed. It's like Christmas.
Do you remember that time, Anna? Was it Christmas when you picked up your A-level results?
It was too long ago, actually.
All right, what about your daughter? Yes, I mean, in terms of that, is the excitement for A-level results still thriving on that basis?
Yeah, she was really disappointed, actually, and she did really well, which was even more stupid, because if she hadn't done well, strange old world, that. I think the expectations are really high now, that's the problem.
Well, that and the whole sort of media impact on the whole thing, as we said, don't worry if you have any sort of concerns. You can always listen to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition tomorrow at 8:30. We'll be doing a little live link with the examining advisory body, so we'll be well there. We can't obviously change your grades, but we can at least point you in the right direction, perhaps, in terms of things to do. So, Anna, what sort of things have you been doing in Jersey this week?
Weather's been pretty bad, actually, so not as much going out as I would have liked, but tomorrow's a big day in Jersey. It's the day of the Battle of Flowers, and it's an annual event which takes place on the south coast of the island along the only dual carriageway, where trucks are decorated with almost like a raft of flowers in different designs, and they're all based on themes like, you know, like the book Mickey Mouse, and they produce it's done by mainly by parish but also by small groups. They submit floats and they make a parade through the bottom end of the island, so people can see these beautiful things, and it has to stay sunny, otherwise all will be lost. So it's very important that everyone prays for sunshine tomorrow.
Look, Anna, we're sending positive vibes all the way down to you. Very much important from that point of view. We just had a comment from Bill Coles. Apparently his wife's in hospital. It's understandable, Bill. Don't worry about the show when your wife's in hospital. Lord above. He still sent a mobile number here. We might try and reach you on that. Oh, then again, we may not. But anyway, it's been that kind of show, Anna. You know, the excitement. And the good news is, of course, Hurricane Bertha has passed you by now. You know, so she can't come back. She's done.
Well, that's good, because whatever things are like that here is very destructive, being an island. Especially the south coast, because where I am on the bus at the moment is a very flood-prone area, and it's not uncommon for the seawall to have the odd crack in it after a high tide and a load of wind. And in fact, there was a trip a few days ago on the only boat that goes to France, I think, called Condor Ferries. And apparently, if you saw what the boat looked like, somebody took their mobile phone and took photographs of the boat. It looked as if it'd been through, it would like another Titanic. But apparently all the crew and all the passengers were violently ill. The shop was turned upside down, and it was very dramatic.
This sounds as though Joe Hayden should get Red Dog Films out there doing some documentary footage of this. I mean, it's very dramatic in that sort of point of view. Presumably you didn't have the ultimate disaster there of Celine Dion singing an ever-ending theme song for the whole piece.
No, we've got our own. She's called Narina Palo. She's a local star in her own right, but she's the sort of person that would sing something gushy like that, I'm afraid.
I love the way you say Palo as opposed to Palot, which sort of people might sort of say the silent T is there.
Palo, it's very French.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong about that, Narina, that, you know, can't help herself. In fact, we've got Real Late Starter from Narina Palo. If you'd like to have a little Narina Palo to see you out today.
Oh, go on. That would be lovely, actually.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I mean, the other option was Days of Pearly Spencer, but, you know, as you mentioned, Narina, it's only important that's that. Joe, I'm going to test you now. Can you remember those last two questions, which we normally bowl out at this stage to our contributors?
Yeah.
Have
they had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat, and are they coming back again?
Are you interested in coming back again?
I think so, yes. I'd like that very much, yes.
Hooray.
I think that answers both of them, really. You know, in many ways. That's important on that sort of basis. Connections have been sorted. Anna, I'm going to let you, as she's a fellow Jersey soul, introduce Real Late Starter with Narina Palo. Anna, the floor is now yours.
Narina Palo, sing your heart out, girl. Sing it for Jersey.
I woke up late today. Actually, I do that every day. Got no place to be seen. I'm not part of a scene. I'm a genius loser, keeping counsel with my own opinion. President of the state that I'm in. Should I just stay in bed? Should I live in my head? Oh, God, so many questions to ask.